Right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all your happy faces. And I know fall is here. It's just the way it is. Some of you like that better than others. Some of you are summer people. But we just have to do it, right? This is part of the season. So enjoy the warm days that we get in the sun. And yeah, we'll get through it like we always do, hopefully. So, but if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today. I want to share with you that even though we're still going through some crazy things in our country, the gospel is still penetrating the hearts of people. And we can't take our eyes off of the gospel. We can't take our eyes off of Christ. Because if we do, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Let me just give you a warning. Be careful how much you love this world. Be careful how much you love this world, because the world is not going to love you back. I promise you that. But be careful how much you love this world, because you'll find that the relationship with it one day will be broken. And it'll be the day you leave this world, and this world will not want you back, can't have you back. So be careful how much stock you put into this world. That's just coming out of my mind this morning. Just make sure you be careful. Don't fall in love with the world. But know this, that Jesus loves you. And God loves you. And that's why Jesus came. Some of you, this will be familiar to you, because it is a common scripture, but it is a good parable, and it's good for us this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. That's listening to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. There's a separation then. They keep staying away from people that were not good. And the good people would stay over here. The religious people would be here. And I was always, always wanting to call Jesus out for hanging out with sinners. Amazing how even people still today can call themselves righteous in their own eyes. And really, we are not righteous. When we're acting like that, we are not righteous amongst the Lord. We are just self-righteous, and that will always put you into a stumbling block. Be careful that you don't let yourself be a stumbling block on how good you think that you are. You're never as good as you think you are. But let me remind you. Even if you think you're as bad and you're saying, you know, I'm the super bad person, let me tell you, you're exactly who Jesus came for. You're exactly who Jesus came for. Some of you remember what it was like being in your own life, your old life before you came to Christ, the things that you did. And I know you're glad you don't do those anymore. But sometimes those thoughts and those temptations come up in your brain, in your mind, and you think about them for a minute, and then there's that Holy Spirit. It's whoa, and you're like, yep, back off, going another direction. But here we're going to find out there's this parable. You see, they're in this crowd. I mean, the Pharisees were correct. He was with sinners. But they didn't understand that they were a part of the sinners as well. So he has men, and he has women, and he has the religious group. And every one of them was a sinner. Every one of them was a sinner. And they were correct. This man welcomes sinners. If he didn't, you and I would not have been welcomed into the salvation of Christ. Christ loves sinners. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves you enough that he came. If you could just go in Revelation, just look a little bit. The last couple, just looking at just kind of the Isaiah chapter 6. There's a few other places where you can just kind of get a glimpse, the beginning of Revelation, a glimpse of the glory of God, the throne of God. Just knowing where Jesus came from. And he came down to this big old ball of mud, and just dark, evil, and sinful thoughts were upon men all the time. Evil deeds. And he came down. Not as a big army, but came down as a baby. To grow up into this world so that he might save the world. Here we find out that he's going to tell a parable. So some parables to the men, to the women, to the religious, so they all would get this. It was very important that they all would get it. Man, he had a crowd that was so diverse, but not as diverse as they all thought it was. Be man, be a woman, be religious, be Pharisee, whatever it is. They all had this one thing in common. They were sinners. So he told them this parable. One man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the one until he finds it. When he found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance." Boy, there's not a shepherd in this crowd one, is there? Some of you have raised cattle. You try to get into that, you know. When you get a call at night, says one of your cows, one of your whatever it is strolling down the highway, you get up and don't care what time in the middle of the night, you get up and you go get it. This was their livelihood. This is something these men understood. These men understood that this is their livelihood about. So I'm sure there were some shepherds in the midst here that they all understood that. That he had 100 sheep. Listen, how do you know he had 100? Because he knew a number that he had. He had 100 sheep and one of them went astray. This was his livelihood. This is where he was spent his time in there. And sometimes they would, you know, just these sheep would be good and there'd be this one that would just want to keep straying from time to time. Would wander off. Who's ever had a kid that wandered off? Who's ever had a kid that's ever wandered off? You see, Jesus is speaking their language. These men understood that. They understood about these sheep on how important. This was their livelihood. This is what they put all their time into. Jesus is using this parable to get them to understand that when someone is lost, that the shepherd, the great shepherd, is going to go after them. And bring him back into the fold because he knows what's out there. A sheep cannot defend itself. And it wanders away from the protection of that flock. And it wanders away. And out there is the wolves. And they like sheep meat. They like to eat those lambs. They like to eat the sheep. They're just out there. Just out there. Just far enough out of the reach of the protection. Outside the circle. And when they wander out there, they are in grave danger. And sometimes they get really far out there. But the shepherd will keep looking. He will keep looking. He will keep looking for that one. He will keep looking for that one. He'll bring it back. When he finds it, he gets ecstatic. He gets very joyful. And he brings that one into that fold. He brings it back into where it's supposed to be. Back into the protection. Because let me tell you, not every sheep that is lost is found. And he's looking, and he finds it, throws it over his shoulders, and he carries all the way back. Didn't matter how far it was. There's just a joy in it. It's also said that some of you have heard and have known that it's been said that sometimes the shepherd will break the leg of the sheep. And people go, "Why would he do that? Why would he do that?" One, the sheep keeps wandering and keeps wandering. And you bring them back, they keep wandering. Bring them back, they keep wandering. You bring them back, they keep wandering. And the shepherd will just break the leg sheep. And people say, "Oh my gosh, that's so bad." But what happens is now the sheep can't wander. And the sheep will begin and the shepherd will begin to spend more time together. Is it because the shepherd didn't want to spend time? It's because the sheep kept wandering. And when you get it together, now the shepherd is mending and helping the healing process. And when the sheep finally gets up to where it's healed, the sheep doesn't wander anymore. Because there's a bond there. There's a closeness there. They have this thing, this connection there. Do you know in scriptures it says where those who are forgiven much, love much? And those who have forgiven little, love little? And so that sheep and that shepherd are kind of bound together. It doesn't wander off. And we see that he says, I tell you that there is more joy in heaven. There is a joy in heaven when one person comes to Christ and repents. Or that believer that's way out there, wandered off. And it says that heaven rejoices over that one sinner who repents. And they rejoice gratefully. We need to do the same. One, we need to learn to rejoice when those who are lost are found. We also can't just sit back. We also need to be like the shepherd and keep searching for those that are lost. And there are some of those Christians that are out there. Some Christians are out there. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They don't want to hear what I got to say. They got it figured out. There's a few people that are on my mind. I won't mention names. They've walked away from the faith. They were really strong in this church. I mean, real strong. And then turn around and say, I don't believe in that stuff anymore. He's got favorites. Let me just tell you, be careful. You just have to step back sometimes and let God do his thing. And sometimes there's a broken leg there. Broken legs can be very, very difficult to work through. But I'll remind you, God loves us enough that he'll allow some stuff to happen in our lives to get us back. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. He'll allow you to get in so daggone deep in the mud and the murk. You beg to come back. And the men understood it. Get it. I know about sheep. But there was another in the crowd. It was the females. He wanted to bring something that was very personal to the females. And so we got this scripture here. He says, now what woman who has 10 silver coins? Now, most of you ladies, most of us here don't really understand what those 10 silver coins were. But the 10 silver coins was something, a beautiful array. It's what it symbolized. It was a band with 10 coins in it. Usually it could be a necklace, but most of the time it was a band with 10 silver coins. They represented who she was. This was hers. This was her, like, allotment. There were 10 of them. It was her beauty given to her. And it was displayed as beauty that she's a good, godly woman, that this is part of her in the culture. And they would give it to her. She's going to be married. She's married. She keeps it all the way through her life. And she would wear it with pride. We have a good family. We have a good marriage. I'm a good wife. Now, we don't understand the culture. It's a little different culture over there. Sometimes the key is with these 10 coins, she was not to lose any of those coins. It was like a dowry. Something ever happened to her husband, and that's all she had. She still had this as a bag, kind of almost like a savings as well. These 10 coins were so important. You don't want to lose one of them. And in this parable, she loses one. It's also said that If she was found unfaithful, a husband could take a coin off and she would wear it and it would show that she was unfaithful. And she lost the coin. And also, if she lost the coin, it would also mean that if she lost it, that she was not a very responsible person. This was very important. These 10 coins were very important. All of a sudden in this crowd, all the ladies were paying attention. They understood what that band meant. They were wearing those bands. The men in this crowd were still thinking about sheep right now. They're thinking about sheep right now. But the women, now Jesus has got these ladies' attention. He says, or what woman has 10 silver coins? If she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her women friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin that I lost. And they will be ecstatic as well. What mother does not pray for her lost children? She's a believer. What woman doesn't pray? What mother doesn't pray for any of her children that's walked away from the Lord? What mother doesn't pray for her children? What single woman doesn't pray for her marriage? Doesn't pray that she will be the best wife for her husband? Had that ecstatic glow upon her face. But she lost the coin. Everything is in disarray. What I like about this is she ecstatically did what she could do in her own power. She just started searching. She started searching right there and then. She finds it. But I want to tell you this. There were 10 coins. No one coin was more important than another. They were all together. They were a group. If it was the one on the right, the far right, it's still a coin. The one in the middle, the one on the left, it was still a coin. You know, mothers love, should love their children all the same. You might spend more time with one because one causes you more pain. You might pray for more for one than others because they have drifted from God or they cause you more pain. But they're all still valuable, amen? They're all still valuable. So now we got the men thinking about sheep. You know how men are. We'd be still thinking about sheep. Didn't even listen to what Jesus said about coins. Now these ladies are thinking, oh my gosh, this is real personal now. It just started talking about coins. This headband coins, this is us. Oh my gosh, now this is us. So we got the men thinking. We got the women thinking, and then the righteous are going, yeah, that's right. He's talking about sinners. Then he says, he also said, and many of you know this, he also said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had, and he traveled to a distant country. Let me tell you right there, when you have a child that falls away from the Lord or is lost, they will get away from those who are believers. Want to go away because we're going to hide that sin. Here we go. He says, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. You don't think his dad tried to talk him out of it? I'm sure he did. After he had spent everything and a severe famine struck that country, he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens in the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And remember, pigs is an unclean animal to the Jewish at this time in culture. And he longed to eat his fill from the pods. The pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. And when he came to his senses, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And I imagine right here, one of them guys are saying, wait a minute, I'm thinking about sheep. Man, that's a lost sheep. It starts clicking, because men are slow, right? Ladies, right? We're just now catching it, right? Oh, my gosh, we're just now catching it. Okay? We're just now catching it. He's talking. Hey, that's like a sheep. That sounds like a sheep. And then the ladies are all like, yeah, we already knew he was like a coin, right? So, when he comes to his senses, because I'm telling you, when you're living in sin, you ain't got no sense. Come on now, you ain't got no sense. All right? You ain't got no sense because you think you're smart, but you ain't smart. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hands? Let me tell you, when you get your senses back, it will be with God and with godly people. That's when you start getting your senses, when you start thinking in that direction. Not another scheme. So he comes to his senses, and how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? Here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against my heaven and your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I also can imagine there could be someone else in this crowd that says, oh, I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a female. I'm somebody else, but this will catch them. This parable will catch everybody. Because if you're a believer, you always have somebody in your family. You always have a friend that's not walking with God, whether they are lost or they have backslidden. But this boy comes to his senses. He's got to get it right. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you get it right is with God. That's it. You got to get it right. And the Father here is a representation of Christ. And God, you got to get it right with Jesus. You got to come and you got to repent. And he knows what to do. Here's the thing that's really, really funny about this, is the kid knew what he needed to do. The young man knew what he needed to do. I need to repent. I need to confess. And that's what he did. Father, I have sinned. Christians know when they sin, don't we? We know when we sin. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put them on. Because I'm telling you, that hug meant more than any words. How many of y'all know when one of your kids give you a hug? There's more than just the hug. That hug is just a bunch of words. It's a bunch of emotion. Basically, it's all filled up with love. I love you. And they had hugged each other. And they, in this culture, they kissed him. And I like it because he says he was filled with compassion. If you read the book of Mark, you'll see that Jesus is filled with just compassion. So much compassion for people. But the father told him, servants, go get the best robe and put it on my son. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Because he's a mess. You notice that sometimes when people are living in sin, sometimes they physically start to go downhill. Not always. Because I can tell you this, we can cover a lot with makeup, $200 shoes. Not that I've ever bought anything like that, but people do. Fancy Armani suits, you can cover a lot. Then bring in the fattened calf. We're going to have a feast, slaughter, and let us celebrate with a feast. Because the son of mine was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. This is that part where heaven celebrates those that come to repent and turn to Christ. But here comes the part that the religious people need to hear. Because the religious people are saying, yep, this is nothing about us. But here he goes. He says, now, his older son was in the field. And he came near the house and he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of his servants and asked, what are these things mean? Your brother is here, he told him. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back and safe and sound. He should be excited. But religious people weren't. They weren't. What does it say? He says, then he became angry. There's a jealousy part. Religious is always jealousy. Our whole Christianity thing is about us. It's about Christ with the gospel coming to us and embracing us and bringing us to Him. And that religious stuff is man trying to find a way to figure out how to reach God. And you can't do it. You can't do it in the way the religious, you can't do it and make all these rules, all this. You can't do it. You can't reach God unless God is reaching to you. And He did that through Jesus Christ. Then He became angry and He didn't want to go. I'm not going in. So His father came out and pleaded with Him. But He replied to His father, "Look, I have been slaving many years for you." Isn't that the self-righteousness right there, religious? I've been working hard. It's all about works, right? It's what it is. Religious is all about being it's all about works. I've been working. I've been slaving for you. I have never disobeyed your orders. It's a little self-righteous right there. "Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your assets with prostitutes." Isn't it something? You know what it is? People start calling out other people's sins. They never talk about their own. That's self-righteousness. That's self-righteous piece. Your son spent all the assets, your assets. He's reminding the father that it was your assets. And he spent it on prostitutes. And you slaughtered the fattened calf for him? And this is what it comes down. You know what? The father's not saying you're wrong. He's not going to say that at all. He's not going to say, "Son, you're right. You're wrong. You're right. You're wrong." He's not going to say that. Because the son was right. He did blow the assets. He did go out and squandered it with prostitutes. He did go out and live a crazy life. And he comes back. He did do that. But this is the compassion and the love of the Lord. "Son," he says, "you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours," he turns the tide. He says, "this brother of yours," your brother, putting some responsibility back on him. You're part of this too. "Your brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." Everything the son said was true, except that he sinned too. But he only could see it through the religious eyes of, "Look what I do, but look what everybody else is doing." So this piece here was for the religious. So he has this whole crowd, the men with the sheep, the women with the coins, and the religious people with the prodigal son. And there's so much more in the prodigal son, but I'm talking about those who were in attendance. And it goes back to the very first verse. At all the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And Jesus would say, "You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But you're also in this crowd of sinners. Make sure that your walk with Christ is with Christ and not just with the church. Make sure your walk with Christ is in here, not just in these hands of your working. Because if it's not in here, what you do with these doesn't even matter. Because you're doing these for self-righteousness. You're doing these for the self. The lost sheep was important to Jesus. It's the same concept as the lost coin and the prodigal son. It is this, that Christ has compassion for the lost. And for those who know Christ, those who wander away and start living in sin, we call that word backsliding. And there's more backsliding going on than what people will admit. It's backsliding is when we walk away. We're walking away. All the things that we begin to do, we're just beginning to walk away more and more from Christ. It gets easier and easier as you get further and further away from Christ. But the celebration is what we miss when we preach this, the celebration. But the celebration. Celebration. in heaven. I don't think we quite understand. I'm going to read something out of Revelations here for a minute, just so you can get a kind of an idea. I didn't plan on turning here, but just so you can kind of get an idea. I, John, your brother, partner in the tribulation, kingdom, and endurance, are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of God's word and testimony about Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me with like a trumpet saying, write on the scroll what you see to these seven churches. And he begins to write on those about the seven churches. And as he's doing that, he goes into chapter 4, and he says, the seven spirits of God, something like the sea, a sea of glass. I'm sorry, I'm backing up. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and the throne was set there in heaven. One was seated on the throne, and the one seated looked like jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that looked like an emerald surrounded the throne. Around the throne was 24 thrones, and on the thrones sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes and gold crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, and it continues to go on. And it says, each of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with their eyes around their inside. And inside, day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, 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 Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming. And we just continue to talk about the awesomeness of heaven and the throne. If God's got all these things going on, the saffron and the angels and all these things going on, and the moon doing its, the sun doing its thing, the world on its axis rotating in the perfect harmony the way God wants it, all the stars, we know they're all by name. Yet in heaven, he has a place, however it works, that when one comes to Christ, there is a celebration. It must be important that if it hits the door frames of heaven, it walks inside the door frames of heaven into the throne, there is a celebration. Why? Because God understands, heaven understands what it is to, for those who go to heaven, that the promises of eternal life are amazing. It is amazing. It's beyond our all understanding and our imagination. But the flip side of that is damnation, hell, damnation, the gnashing of teeth is on the other end. That is why there is a celebration in heaven. For those that were dead now are found. Those that are lost are found. There is salvation for the one that was sinking in the pits of hell. They understand it. That's why there's a celebration. Even if it's just for one person today across this massive world, one person, it says there's a celebration for one. Because why? Because Jesus says, if one of the sheep wander off, they go get it. And they come back and they tell everyone and they celebrate. If one coin is dropped and lost, that she runs and she finds the coin. They come back and they celebrate. If the prodigal son comes back, a prodigal daughter comes back with the father, there's an embrace, there's a hugging, there's repentance and all that stuff. But in the end, there is a celebration. If anyone knows about heaven and hell, it is God. But God give it through us through the gospel that we don't have to go to hell. But that we can spend our eternal life with him in companionship with Jesus. When we will see those other saints before us, we will get to see Abraham as he is. And Moses. And Joseph. And Esther. And Ruth. David, Job, Sarah, Peter, James, John, Apollos, I believe Nicodemus. You don't think they celebrate? What a share one more piece with you. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to stand. Go ahead and stand. Hebrews chapter 12 says this. Therefore, since we have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. They already ran their race. We're still running our race. Scripture says, therefore, since we also have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, we need to finish our race in the fold of the sheep. We need to finish our race on the band of the coins. Like I said, there's no one sheep or no one coin more valuable than another. They're